The scriptures that I want to read to you, first of all, Psalm 49, and we're going to look at Psalm 48, verses 12 and 14. It says, "Walk around Zion and go around her. Count her towers, consider her ramparts, go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation." Look at God's church. Assess what God is doing in His world and in His church, and then tell that to the next generation. Now go over to Psalm 71, beginning in verse 17, going through verse 18. It says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray," I see some gray hair out there. "Even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until what? Don't forsake me, God, when I'm old and gray, when I'm a grandfather, a grandmother, a great-grandfather, a great-grandmother. Don't forsake me, O God, until I declare your strength, your power to the next generation. Your power to all who will come." That's our job, brothers and sisters, to declare God's power to the next generation, to prepare the next generation to take the reins of the Lord's church, the reins of leadership, the reins of service and ministry to God. That's our job. I'm so glad to see these young people up here, these young people that are serving. You're passing that torch to the next generation. I especially appreciate the seminar that you had here, the Bible teachers workshop, and you chose your speakers well, because one of them is named Adair. I'm very proud of our son, Scott Adair, who was one of your presenters at your workshop. See, we're passing the next generation on. I'm not the only Adair now that can come to Greenville Avenue and speak. I love that Scott was able to meet some of you. I've told him about you for a long, long time. So I'm glad that he was able to be here. Now I'm going to play a video for you that's very important. And you know about these solar players that are full of the Word of God, full of the entire curriculum of Sunset International Bible Institute. And the next phase of these solar players is going to be in the Philippines. 7,000 islands in the Philippine nation. Many of those islands have big cities. 103 million people in the Philippines. Now I want you to listen to this, because the median age of people in the Philippines is 22 years of age. That means there are as many people 22 and younger in the Philippines as there are 22 and older in the Philippines. Now, if you want to get a perspective on that, the median age of the United States of America, the population, is 37. That means there are as many people 37 years old and younger as there are 37 years old and older. But the Philippines has a young generation. And as you look at this video, I want you to look at the young people in this video and listen to what it says about the needs of the young in the Philippines. And then we will come back and we'll talk about that. So let's play that video.
In the mountain areas, one of the difficulties that we have here is having church workers coming in to help because of the mountain region. You know, you have to walk so far, all the trails. You have to travel how many hours to come here. And the dangers also of landslides, the dangers of typhoons and rain. When we come with the solar prayer, having Bible studies in one family, we could easily leave the solar prayer to that family and they could study on their own. They can share the solar prayer to families in houses in the mountains. It multiplies our preaching capacity. There are more churches here than preachers. You will be maturing most of the Christians, and the Christians here will be more equipped in sharing the Word of God. It's like multiplying the preachers. The solar player is one of the best resources that we could have. All the lessons in it, the whole curriculum of Sunset in it, and this is really amazing.
Unto Him be the glory. Where? In the church.
We use it as a commentary. I use it as a points wherein I get some of my lessons from it. So this is very useful for me in learning the Bible, in understanding the Bible. I think this will unite most of the churches here.
It's full packed. It's jam packed with meaty informations regarding salvation, regarding the Bible, regarding the Word of God.
We are resilient. We can face trials. Actually, we were voted as one of the happiest people in the world. And even if with all the sufferings and trials, we serve. We're good servants. The solar player would be something that we can introduce to the next generation, the younger generation, and it could be a guide for them. It could be, you know, it could be something that would set a standard on their faith, on their understanding of God. It's going to it's going to be a big blessing.
Thank you.
Now these, thank you. It is a matter of praise to God in reality that God is using this little instrument to take the gospel to the next generations in places all over the world. We started in Africa. You remember that? I was here in the very early days when we first started this, talking about this in Africa. We delivered this to many nations in Africa. In fact, we delivered about 8,000 of these things in Africa and Latin America. And we've already delivered about 400 of them in Philippines. And we'll deliver 1,600 more this year. I want you to know that we have already loaded all of our material on the 10,000th solar player that we have produced. 10,000. Praise God for that. And sometime this year, we will deliver that 10,000th solar player to some brother or sister in the Philippines. And all of that is a God thing. And we've got a faithful donor who loves this ministry and has said, I will match every contribution this year that is given to the Solar Player Ministry. He's going to write a check and double everything that people give to this ministry in this year. So God has truly blessed us. Well, what is all of this about? It's about passing faith to the next generation. Because this is loaded with all of the material that the next generation really needs to know. You see, God has always given the current generation a mandate, marching orders, a mission. You see, our generation today has a mission, a purpose from God. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament as God has instructed His people. Hear, O Israel. The book of Deuteronomy says in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words, which I'm commanding you today, these very words shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach them to your sons and your daughters, and talk to them about these things when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, what he didn't say is, you don't have to teach these things at home. Just wait until they get to church and they'll get it. Amen. No, he said, you teach them and talk about these things when you're at the dinner table, when you're sitting at home, turn the TV off, talk about these things. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you're sitting in your recliner, you talk about these things with the next generation and you let them know what God is up to so that they can carry on the mission to their generation as well. Now turn over to Acts chapter 28. Or Acts chapter 20, rather, verse 28. Now, he has just said, Paul has just said to the leaders of the church at Ephesus, the elders, he has just said in verse 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you, the leaders, this generation of leaders, I didn't shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, since the whole counsel of God had been diligently taught to all the leaders of that generation at Ephesus, he says, now you be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock. That means the young folks and the old folks and all of those in between. All of those that are 37 years old and half the population that's older. All of those that are 37 years old and half the population that's younger. You teach those things to all of those people, the young and the old, because the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God or feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Know this, he said. Know this. If you don't do this, the church is in trouble. Because I know that after my departing, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. We have to prepare the next generation. We have to prepare them to defend the faith, to know the faith, to live the faith. And if they don't do that, then they will be devoured and destroyed by those that do not love God, His Word, and His church. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. I wonder if we've worked that hard to get this to the next generation. I wonder if we're that diligent to make sure that the next generation knows. It's so important. Here's how important it is. Listen to this. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. We have an inheritance waiting for us, folks, in heaven. But it's going to be waiting for those that have received the instructions from this generation in the next generation and have been faithful to God, to His Word, and to His mission. So, what does all of this mean to us? It means that there is a repeatable message. There is a message that has to be repeated in every generation of the Lord's church. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations. Now that involves some teaching, that involves some training, that involves some instruction, that involves some demonstration of what Christianity is all about. You make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, it's one thing to teach them information. It's another thing to teach them to obey all of that information and to live it out in their life Well, the young generation may look at us and say, I can't hear what you're saying because your life speaks too loudly. So we have to live that, folks, in this generation, so that the next generation not only has instruction but an example. Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what this generation needs to be saying to the next generation. Yeah, do what all of these verses say. But let me show you how to do it. Follow me as I follow Christ. Well, what are we going to teach to that next generation? I've struggled with this in my ministry. How does the church develop a teaching plan, an instruction plan? How do parents develop an instruction plan, a curriculum for our younger generations to know? I can tell you this. At Sunset International Bible Institute, if we didn't have a curriculum plan, we wouldn't know how to teach the next generation of preachers. But we've developed a curriculum. And a part of that curriculum started with the goal at the end. We had to ask the question, what does a preacher need to know? What does a preacher need to be like? What kind of life does that preacher need to have? What kind of information does he need to have? And then when we have that picture in our mind of what a preacher needs to look like in his mind and his heart and his life, then we start building the curriculum. Well, if we're going to get there, here's what we have to do. Here's what we have to teach. Here's what we have to say. Are we that careful in congregations to put together a curriculum based on what we want the next generation of Christians to look like? If they're going to look like God's people, what do they need to know? What do they need to understand? What do they need to live out in their daily life if they're going to be God's people in the next generation? And once you have that picture in your mind of what that next generation Christian needs to look like and be like and believe, then you start from the beginning and say, well, if we're going to get there, He's got to understand this. He's got to understand that. We have to teach this. We have to give him that. There's an old psychological experiment that was conducted years ago with children of a very young age. They were maybe first graders, kindergartners, very young children. And in this experiment, it's called the marshmallow experiment for a good reason. They would put either marshmallows or something very sweet and delectable, maybe a cookie, maybe a marshmallow, in front of these children, and they would have a dozen kids there, and they'd put a marshmallow in front of each one of them, and they would say to the children, now, You can eat this marshmallow right now, and that's all you're going to get. But if you wait 5 minutes and you don't eat that marshmallow, you just look at it for 5 minutes, there will be a bell that will ring in 5 minutes, and you can have 2 marshmallows. Do you know that in that experiment, a minority of the children waited 5 minutes? Now, those children were observed for 50 years. And it was discovered that the children that waited 5 minutes turned out to be some of the solid citizens in society. And they discovered that the children that couldn't wait, that lived for the moment, that said, we're not worried about the next 5 minutes, we just want our marshmallow right now. Some of those children ended up in jail. Some of them ended up in poverty. Some of them ended up not really knowing how to make it in life. What I'm saying is that we need to teach our children how to put the things of God into practice, to wait on the Lord, to be patient in life, to seek the best things in life, even if it means I don't have instant gratification. There are just some things that God's people need to pass on to the next generation. In looking at this, I've made a list of 13 things that I think God's people and God's church need to know. I want you to just get, I'm going to end this real quick, but I want you to just get, and I'm going to give you these 13 things kind of in quick order. God's people need to pass on to the next generation, number one, the nature and character of God. If the Bible says God is love, if the Bible says God is the creator, we need to start in Genesis 1 and John chapter 1, and we need to talk about God and what God is like and how His nature. If the Bible says you be holy as God is holy, what does that mean? Well, I can't preach all of these 13 points, so we got to move on, all right? My daughter said that their preacher this morning, after he had preached for 30 minutes, said, "Okay, folks, I have 6 more points. But then he said, "Point number one is, next week I'm going to cover the 6 points. And now the invitation is yours. So I may need to come back and cover the next 12 points. But let me just give them to you real quick. I'm not going to preach them. I'm not going to elaborate on them. We need to know the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to pass that on to the next generation. We need to know the gift and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to understand the redemptive plan and purpose of God for all of His people and for His church. We need to know why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe the Bible is true? Your children are going to be asking you things like this, and your grandchildren are going to be asking, how do we know the Bible is true? How do we know there's a God? How do we know that Jesus was raised from the dead? We need to teach those evidences to the next generation. We need to teach our young people how to study the Bible. When you open this Bible, it's got to be more than just a book of fables and myths. We have to study it to know what it really teaches us. And we have to begin with the covenants. There is an old covenant, there's a new covenant. And if you don't understand the covenants, you don't know how to study the Bible. We need to teach this next generation about the church. What is the church of Christ? Our people don't know the church from any other denomination. We need to teach what the church is, its doctrine, and its body life. Not just what it teaches, but how we live with, among each other, and are unified in the body of Jesus Christ. We need to teach, number 8, how to worship our God. Prayer, singing, the Lord's Supper. What's that all about? Is it just a cracker and a sip of grape juice? What is the Lord's Supper about? Do we teach our young people all of these things about worshiping God? We need to teach young people about the spiritual disciplines of life. How to pray to God. How to govern our lives. How to deal with temptation. Those kinds of spiritual disciplines are important. The first thing, when one of our young people is baptized into Christ, the first thing they're going to face, well, they're going to face two things. Dripping wet out of the baptistry, they're going to face doubt and temptation. We need to teach them how to deal with both of those things. We need to teach about the Christian home, marriage, parenting, how to be a child of God in the home, how husbands are supposed to treat their wives, how wives are supposed to treat their husbands, how children are supposed to treat their parents, and how parents are supposed to treat their children. We need to teach that to the next generation. We need to teach the next generation about church history, starting with the book of Acts. It wasn't long, even in the book of Acts, till the church was flirting with apostasy, till there were grievous wolves coming in among the flock. We need to teach the church about church history. Any people that doesn't know its history is bound to repeat the mistakes of history. We need to teach evangelism and missions to our young people. The church isn't just coming and singing a few songs and going home. It's all about the world out there and evangelizing that world and sending people all over the world to bring people to Jesus Christ. And finally, number 13, we need to teach our young people about what's going to happen at the end of time, or what's going to happen when they die. What is heaven all about? What is hell all about? What's the resurrection of the body all about? What is going to happen 10 seconds after a person dies? The Bible says what's going to happen. The Bible teaches us what's going to happen when the Lord comes again. We need to teach all of that to our young people. What I'm saying to us is, if we're going to do that generation to generation business, we need to start now And we need to have in mind what we want that generation to look like. And then we build in what we need to teach them, what we need to model for them, the lives that we need to live in order to get them there, the commitments that we must make in time, money, and effort to make sure that we get our young people there. Well, this hasn't been a lesson designed to tell people how to come to Christ, but that's one thing we need to teach our young people. Amen. That if they want to go to heaven one day, they need to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That He is the Son of God who lived a perfect life, who died for our sins, and on the third day was raised from the dead. And He's in heaven right now interceding on our behalf. And if you believe that, then you ought to repent of all your sins, because Jesus is real. And if we want to be with God, God is a holy God, and we have to have our sins removed, forgiven by God. And our part in that is faith and repentance. And then we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of my life. Lord of heaven and earth. And then we are immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not the water that washes away our sins. It's the blood of God's Son that washes away our sins. But when does it do that? At the moment that we're baptized by faith into Christ Jesus, and God adds us then to His church. If you're subject to that great invitation of God, then we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.
Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stand beside me every hour. Why don't you be my Timid find, may I run this wicked race, filled by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, comfort me.